Well, hello everyone. It's Tanya Gabrielle on this April 23rd in 2013. And wow, just even today, there's just a lot of activity and action and forward movement. And I really wanted to focus on that kind of energy today because, as I may have mentioned before, you know from my videos that in February we had all the planets moving forward for about 18 days, and that signified that this year was really a year for you to have major breakthroughs. And of course, we're into 2013, and that is a year of transformation because it's the 13th year. It's also a year of abundance. And your abundance is tied to you taking responsibility, and it's also tied to you expressing love because the number six for 2013, the sixth universal year we're in, is a year about, you know, expressing love and expressing compassion and being responsible for your actions. So any abundance that you generate will have to tap into those parts of your life. So as I said, in February, all the planets were moving forward for those 18 days. Then we had a few retrogrades to deal with. And then in April, end of March and April, things started really kicking off. And that's also when we started seeing events in the world reflect, you know, that there is certainly dynamic energy out there right now. And so what's happening is there's a few eclipses now coming up. A couple days we'll have a partial eclipse, and then we have two full eclipses next month. And that's really, really going to, in a sense, be the kickoff for all of us to just make a move. So if we haven't made a move yet in terms of making decisions and moving forward on especially large decisions, it is really time now to do so. So in the last few weeks, Mars and the Sun have been together, just sort of hugging each other back and forth. There were a couple conjunctions. One was April 11th, which was at 22 degrees Aries. So we had 11 and 22 on that day. That was around the time the Korea crisis really went into high gear, was early April. Then we had another conjunction between Mars and the Sun April 21st, which is, you know, the weekend that really the whole situation in Boston was came to a head. And also in Canada, we had, you know, a situation with some kind of terrorist plot in Libya today. I mean, so Mars, the thing about Mars is Mars is about aggression and forward movement. And when it conjuncts the Sun, it really gets accentuated. It's like there's a lot of fire, obviously. So Mars represents a fiery energy, and the Sun is made from that energy. And when they come together, we actually can use that energy to move forward. And sometimes it's used for tension and strife and, you know, people acting up. Mars is very explosive. So the fact that there are explosives involved, whether it is with the Korean crisis or with the Boston situation or with, you know, terrorist acts sort of emerging everywhere right now and terrorism being like the key word in the news, which is why I don't watch the news. You don't want to get sucked into that. That is the shadow side of what's going on. The positive side is that Mars is very, very much about you getting up off, you know, your seat and well, you can stay on your seat if you're at your computer, but as long as you're doing something that's really, really activating your goal and taking a risk and implementing. So now, the thing about this year is that astrologically, Uranus and Pluto are in the driver's seat. And we are going to be experiencing that starting in May, like literally between these two eclipses that I'm going to talk about, the full eclipses in May, is when Uranus and Pluto come back together again in their square. And so what's coming up in May and what the energy now is leading towards starting 2 days from now on April 25th with this partial eclipse, which is a very, very important one. It's in Scorpio, and I'll get into that in a moment, is that whatever situation is being accentuated for you personally, and I'm going to look at all of you today. Nobody actually emailed me that they wanted a reading. So I'm actually going to look at, it gave me an opportunity to look at all of your charts, and I'm going to show you where this Scorpio full moon is happening. So it's going to give you a sign in your chart, in your astrology chart, what is going to be accentuated for you. And so, and this is probably for the rest of the year, actually, because of the potency of these next few months. I mean, the potency of this actual event. So anyway, the as I was saying, astrologically, Uranus and Pluto are really driving the energy, and it's an energy filled with a kind of tension, because Uranus is about freedom, and Pluto is about power. And Uranus is about individual freedom, and Pluto is about the collective power, right? So it's really the collective versus the individual. And so you may feel at times pulled in one direction. For example, with the whole Boston situation that's going on with the bombings, you may feel sucked into that story and not be able to work as a result. Well, that's the collective pulling you into, you know, a realm that's not conducive to you being creative and you moving forward individually in your life. Uranus wants to pull you out of that. So they're at odds with each other. And the whole point of this whole exercise is that we need to come to terms with us individually. You and I need to come to terms with what are we here for? What is the most important thing for us? What do we love most? What do we care about most? You know, where do we feel empowered? Where do we feel free? How will freedom express, you know, itself in our life personally? And then once you realize what that is, you need to go for it. Go for it. That's the whole Mars Sun right now. Whatever your dream is, go for it. This is a year of letting go in a big way. It's life, death, transformation, right? It's the number 13. So there are certain things you're going to have to give up in order to move forward. But whatever it is you're giving up, it's not like something that you need. It's something that is completed. It's no longer resonating for you. So, and the final thing I would just want to say on this note of the talking about the year is that, you know, 13 is represented by the feminine, by the Venusian, which is Venus, by the goddess energy. The year adds up to 6, which is about Venus, and 13 is about goddess energy. So there, you know, the fact that 6 also means love, it all ties in to us being very much more empathetic towards others, using empathy, using compassion, not judging others, you know, having a really broad perspective before we actually, you know, make judgments. And in terms of our own life, it's really about being open and loving to ourselves, so not judging ourselves, not being angry at something we didn't do or haven't accomplished. You know, allowing room for compassion and saying, okay, well, we need to be honest with what we know, but also we need to be honest with what we want to get done. And so that life, death, rebirth of the 13 and the 6, which is love, it is very, very, very powerful, because love really is the energy that fuels everything. In the end, it is love. Loving yourself, loving others. And how do you use your power? Do you use it to create joy and love and beauty and truth and wisdom and uplifting others? Or do you use it to disempower because your ego is getting in the way? All of those issues are coming up, which is why it's such a transformative year. So now let me just talk briefly about the eclipses. And any one of you who want to line up and have questions about what I'm talking about now, or questions about, you know, something that's occurring in your life that you want me to address, look at, why don't you press *6, you can get in line, and I will get to you after I do the reading, so you can also, you know, respond to that as well. So, as I said, you know, 3 of the 5 eclipses this year are lunar eclipses. I said that in one of my videos earlier. So 3 of the 5 eclipses are lunar eclipses, and the moon represents the mother energy. It's the female energy. So this, you know, really ties in with what I was just saying about Venus and love. So we see the awakening of the feminine even in the eclipses. and the rebalancing, all this is, it's not about, you know, men becoming, you know, more female. It's not that about, this is about the masculine and feminine in all of us and balancing that. So it's really making it so that, you know, honoring and respecting and being at one with both the feminine and the masculine. The masculine is our activation, our drive. It's very clear and straightforward. The feminine is, you know, the side of us that's intuitive and flexible and loving, and putting those together, you know, the wisdom of the feminine and the action of the masculine, that is what creativity is all about. And all of us need both of those balanced within us to understand why the world is going through all of this change right now. Why, you know, and not only why, what's most important is how can we stay balanced while this is all going on. Okay, so the energy that is driving Pluto and Uranus began in June 2012 of last year. And we felt it even before that in 2011 because these planets move very slowly. But this year is when it really heats up because we have two squares happening. And so one is in May, one is in November, which is the reason I'm actually having my special live webinar, which I emailed you all about. You are invited at no cost to attend because I'm not holding a seminar this year. I just have a lot I want to share with as many people as I can. And so my decision for this year only is not to hold a live event. I will get back to that next year. I'm actually going to hold a smaller live event, but it's not geared towards the general public. I will let all of you know about it so you can decide whether you want to attend. That will be in early October. But my big seminar is not happening. So instead, I'm going to have two of these live virtual events, and I want to share as much as possible during that time with all of you. And, of course, you all don't have to register for these. And what I'll be talking about in the first one is this Pluto square Uranus in all of the charts, and going through what the eclipses mean in more detail, especially the final one in May, May 25th, and a lot more. I'm going to talk about Saturn in Scorpio because it ties into what you're being asked to do this year, and really it's a huge reality check in many ways. So it's going to be a very intense but very fun in many ways webinar, because I'm going to really show you some remedies of how you can address this energy personally, and plus you'll be able to chat with me. I'll be on live as well. So, but anyway, going back to this, the square in 2013 becomes exact mid-May, so starting around May 16th through June 2nd, and it's going to be at 11 degrees. So those are things to keep in mind, because 11 is that portal number. It's the walk through the gateway fearlessly into the next realm, into the unknown. And that's why I called my event on May 15th, How to Face Your Fears and Prosper in 2013. I want you to walk through that gateway. So this 11 shows up in other ways too. May 2013 is an 11 universal month, okay? And then the fact that the square is happening at 11 degrees, that's obviously a huge sign of what we have to actually focus on. So there's going to be just a lot of new beginnings for people. So get ready for that. Get ready to, you know, change. Something's going to change in your life next month. So, and it can be seamless if you're prepared for it and understand what in your life needs to shift, or it can be sudden and there can be upheaval. And that's because we're in 2013 and the 13 does bring that. It does, you know, it doesn't gently knock on your door when you're not aware. It will basically force you to look at what needs changing. So I want to really make that clear right now, as we're still in April, so that if something comes up in your life that really needs your attention, please focus on it and do that reality check and take it seriously and take be responsible, you know, take the responsibility for your life, and don't be afraid to go there, because you need to go there to create abundance. The whole idea of abundance this year is connected to you waking up to what you need to do. And when you do that, the abundance will flow. There is no doubt about it. So you know, if you've been feeling, you know, liberating urges, which is Uranus, you know, to free yourself from some kind of, you know, being held hostage by a certain situation in your life, you know, try not to focus on what's happening in the news. Focus on your life. Because the whole point now is not to restrict yourself. You know, you want to really face those blockages that are resulting in you feeling this way. So, and all of us, by the way, all of us are being shown how to solve all our issues, all our problems in a brand new way this year. So however we've been solving what our issues were before, it's just not going to work. This is a new road we're all taking. The old ways that we were using to put Band-Aids on our problems, which used to work on some level, it's just not going to work anymore. And so we really are, you know, parts of our life are being really extinguished and transformed in whatever way necessary. So let me now move towards, so we can also get to your questions, what Uranus and what the Aries, the new moon and the full moon, the lunar eclipse in Scorpio, means in your chart. And so now this all kicked off, as you know, I spoke in the last call on April 10th when we had the new moon. Now that wasn't an eclipse though. But it was April 10th. It was a new moon. Both of those are new beginnings, and we talked about that already, so I won't go into that. But now we have the full moon on the other side in Scorpio. And it's important to note that even though it's only a partial eclipse, it is very, very significant. Partial eclipses are eclipses, even though they're partial. And eclipses are rare. We have five this year, as I said. But when they follow each other, like they are on April 25th in 2 days, on May 10th, and on May 25th, that's actually not that common. So looking at the numbers here is going to be very important. So on April 25th, which is 25, which is a 7, because 2 plus 5 equals 7, the full moon occurs at 5 degrees. And 5 and 7 are in the same triad in numerology, which is the mind, the analytical, the intelligence, the flip side would be worrying and analyzing triad of numerology. So your mind is really, really, really going to be active. You could even say it's going to be racing at times during this time. The other side of 25, though, is the 7 is very calming and spiritual and meditative, and will call for you to really take a sabbatical in some way. 7 is about learning, and in order to learn, you need peace and quiet. You need to, you know, preferably be alone with your book or with your thoughts or out in nature. So you may feel like you need a little space. So just know that, and be prepared to, you know, don't be severely critical of yourself. If you feel confused, just let it go, because that's all just your mind on overload, right? So you just don't want to go there. Now, the moon is at 5 degrees, and again, that's in the mind trilogy, just like the number 7. 5 is a bit different, though. 5 is about decisions. And having to make many decisions and being shown a lot of different options. And, you know, it's a number of change and pivot points. And it is a very brave number. It thrives on adventure and risk and courage. And so being alert during this time is going to be very important. 5 is also the media number. And 7 is a lightning strike. 5 is, like I said, a pivot point, faces left and right. So there could be some sudden news stories that come up during that time as well, during this particular full moon. So just like during the new moon earlier this month, there were also some sudden events due to the numbers there. This time it is, we'll see if anything happens. But that's beside the point. The point is for you to focus on your life. I just want to make you aware that if something happens, you know, that you focus on the media for, because of the number 5 and the suddenness of these numbers, that for you, it also means to look at your life. Because during this time, it's easy to feel restless if you don't make decisions. If you're irresponsible and don't take your responsibility, you will feel nervous and restless. So just note that and don't be careless. If you feel indecisive, make a decision. Move forward. You know, decisions, there never is such a thing as a wrong decision in my book. When you decide, you've taken a step forward. And only by deciding will you know whether that step will work for you or not. But you did step forward. If you sit and never move and never decide, you will never grow. And so it's the indecision that is wrong. It's the deciding that is hard for people, because it means making a choice and, you know, committing. It's the commitment to a choice that is the difficulty. And so the thing is, though, without that commitment, you'll never know, you know, whether it's going to work for you or not. So those are some of the issues that will come up for you. And I'm going to look at each of your houses in a moment to see where, what part of your life this will show up. Now, this is happening in Scorpio, okay? So the Scorpio is ruled by Pluto and Mars. So keep that in mind, because those two planets are very, very much in the spotlight right now. Very, very important. Scorpio is about the unseen, the secret, the unconscious, everything that's hidden from view. It's about power. It's just things that have not been addressed in your life will seem to emerge in your life during this time. Same goes for world events. Things that were kept unseen. Power issues, all of that will come forward. So if you've had a situation in your life where you're in a relationship, for example, and there have been certain power struggles, it's a time for you to relook at how you approach that relationship, what your MO is in the relationship, what words you use, how you communicate, is it working? Is there another way to approach a situation completely, like a completely transformative new way that will allow you to move in a new direction? Because it's always a two-way street. So this is about not gaining power in terms of power over someone, but gaining power because you're empowering yourself to be free and open and loving and compassionate. That's where the power will come from. So I now think it's time, since I said I would do this, I'm going to get your charts out and just go through each one of you. It's not going to take too long, so all of you waiting in line for questions, just hold on 1 second while I get charts out. The way I'm going to do this, a couple of you share the same houses, so I will name a couple times more than one name, so you know you need to both need to focus on this area. So I'm going to begin with Lieselotte, and let's see here. So what I'm talking about, just to remind you, I'm talking about the full moon partial eclipse that's happening on April 25th in a couple days, and where in your birth chart, where in your astrology chart is that happening, okay? So when there is an eclipse, a partial eclipse, it just gives added emphasis. So there's a more intense focus on that area in your life. Okay, so plus you can tell a lot about the coming months ahead based on eclipses. Now we have 3 in a row. So this one is just one of the 3, but it's a very important one. So I want to focus on it because it's coming up soon. An eclipse just radiates more intense energy than a regular full moon or new moon. They're also very strong, and knowing where they are in your chart is actually important. But so what I'm trying to explain to you, when there is an eclipse on top of it, it's even stronger. So, and briefly, just for those of you who are into astronumerology or astrology, I just want to go over quickly what the areas of your life, which areas of your life are affected based on the houses that they fall in. So if the eclipse falls in your first and seventh house, that means new moon and full moon. If either of them fall in first or seventh house, then you're working on yourself. You're working on your relationships, especially marriage. And if they're in the second and eighth, it's money, it's finances. If it's in the third and ninth, it's about your education, it's about travel, even things to do with relatives, it's about communication. In the fourth and tenth houses, it's your home and your career, your profession, your goals professionally. The fifth and eleventh, it's on your creativity, your self-expression, children, pleasure, hopes and wishes, your friends, groups and organization. And then in the 6th and 12th house, it's about your health, your work, your daily life, service, and going very deeply into your subconscious, which is the 12th house, philosophy and subconscious. So now, having said that, let's look at Lieselotte. And your house that's being affected, which is really your largest house, the 6th and 12th, take over half of your chart. It's pretty amazing looking at Lieselotte's chart. So yours is in the sixth house, the full moon, and it covers the area of your life that are work. So anything to do with your daily life, your skills, your methods of communicating, your skills, the responsibilities in your life, your health, your nutrition, your attitude towards, you know, exercise and food, your coworkers, anything to do with service, if you provide a service, your attitude towards routine, and what you do for growth, like how you refine yourself, right? What you do to grow. Those are the areas covered by the sixth house. And so for you, it's such a huge house. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else to tell you here. There is a square being made to your natal Uranus with this full moon and your natal sun. So there's an extra fiery, strong, transformative breakthrough to freedom kind of energy for you, Lieselotte, during this time. So just keep that in mind. Home matters are also covered because those two other planets I mentioned are in your fourth house. So that's it in a nutshell for you. I don't see any other. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so let's move now. I think we're looking at two people. We're looking at Shari Staley and Lisa Garcia. Lisa, you have this very interesting. Your full moon is really on the cusp of the seventh and eighth house. So for you, there are really two houses that are affected. The actual full moon takes place in your seventh house, though, just so you know. But it's really close to the eighth house. So listen for both the seventh and eighth house placement. Seventh house, as I mentioned before, and this is Shari Staley as well, seventh house covers the partnership, marriage, your shadow side. So it's all about identifying with others. It's about communicating with your partner, your soulmate, or you know, any issues relating to that you're working through. And being clear that there's an equal give and take between both of you, making sure that that's the case. And it also rules business partnerships, so if either of you are in a business partnership, it would actually rule that as well. And it also covers your shadow self, meaning the side of you that most people may not know is there. So issues relating to that. Any, you know, mediation that you go through, like if you're in counseling, it would cover that as well, because that's the shadow self. That is you getting support for part of you that needs to be looked at and worked through. So it covers that. And then let me look at Shari's chart just to see if there's anything else I notice with the placement in relation to her birth chart. Oh, you have a very nice aspect. There's a trine being made by this full moon to your Jupiter, which is right down there on your nadir. So it's basically affects your career. There will be a lot of emotional forward movement, a lot of creativity generated by this event for you in relation to goals you have, career goals. There's going to be a lot of expansion. And also the way you communicate is going to be affected in a good way. So anything to do with communicating your work in any way, whether it's that video or writing or going on stage, you know, making plans for that. For Lisa, and again, Lisa, listen to the eighth house. I'll be covering that in a moment. Let's see here. Just checking your chart real quick. There is no aspect being made. There's a semi-sextile to your seventh house. There's two planets in your seventh house that are in Libra at 3 degrees and 6 degrees, Uranus and Jupiter. And there's a semi-sextile being formed by this full moon to them. You have a very large seventh house, Lisa, so that's how these planets can be that far apart but still in the same house. So that is a little bit of tension that's being generated. It's not necessarily negative. It's just that the full moon will bring up seventh house issues for you in a stronger way. And because the moon is about our emotions, you know, you will feel, all of us feel more emotional during full moons, as you probably heard. So, so for you, it will be in relation to any partnership situation that you're dealing with right now. Okay, so let's move on to Leanne. You have this full moon in your eighth house, so Leanne and Lisa can listen to this one. So full moon in eighth house, that is really about money. So it has to do, though, with money that's about joint finances, so money in relation to, you know, your partner, because the eighth house covers that whole part of your chart covers you and others. The second house covers your own money, right? So the eighth house will have to do with joint finances, joint investments, joint legacies. It also, the eighth house, which is traditionally ruled by Scorpio, and this is a Scorpio full moon, this is very powerful for all of you who are having this in the eighth house, because it is the ruler. It is the house that Scorpio rules. So, and Scorpio is about life, death, rebirth, secrets, the subconscious, power, very powerful sign, very powerful. The eighth house is an amazing house of empowerment. So for you, all of you who are feeling this in the eighth house, you will undergo tremendous transformation during this time. Which is very soon. You're probably feeling it already. Okay, yes. And the other thing is, a full moon in this house would be a time for revising financial investments, or a time to move investments around, or deciding to share your finances with a partner or business partner. It could be related to tax or insurance issues, or a decision to refinance your house, for example, to get a lower mortgage rate. In a personal relationship, if you are in a personal relationship, the full moon eclipse in this eighth house is also a sign to take the relationship to a more intimate level. So becoming more physical, it can also point to that. Okay, so now we move on to the full moon in... And it's funny how all of you are bunched together. We had the sixth house. We had no full moons in the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth house with anybody. We did have full moons in sixth, seventh, eighth, and now we're in the ninth house. So it's very, very interesting to me that most of these issues are related to us and others. So ninth house is for Roxana. And Roxana, as you know, you're a Numerology Academy member. The ninth house does cover education. It covers travel. It's ruled by Jupiter. It's a very expansive house. It covers your belief systems. So it covers higher learning, like learning Numerology Academy. You know, it covers spiritual beliefs. It covers your philosophy and your morals and discovering other cultures. It's about philosophy and truth and publishing. And so for you, with having this lunar eclipse there, it puts the focus on those things. It puts your focus on your spiritual life and your higher education and also legal matters. So, you know, you can also travel, of course. I didn't mention that. So, you know, it's a time for you to just really focus on spiritualizing your life. And, you know, sometimes what can happen, you know, spiritualizing your life can mean many, many things. Whatever needs to be, because we're in this transformative year, something may occur to, in a sense, you know, give you no choice but to focus on your spirituality, whatever that may be, where you go within and really look at that and make major philosophical decisions. So that is where your focus will be on. And let me look at what, I'll just go back to your chart and see if there are any aspects being made for you with this full moon. And we do have one made to Mars, a trine in the 12th house. That's very interesting. The 12th house is about revealing what is hidden. It's the subconscious. It is about philosophy and spirituality. So you will get a lot of extra energy, Roxana, in this area, because not only is the full moon, you know, hold on. Let me just check something. I'm sorry. I just made a... Oh, okay, right. I'm sorry. I looked at a full moon from another call that I did. So let me backtrack on that. Yes, it is making an aspect to your Mars, but it's a sextile. So not to confuse you, but just to let you know, not only are you focusing on spirituality because of where the full moon is, but also what the full moon is contacting in your personal birth chart, and that happens to be the spiritual house of the subconscious and philosophy. And you know about the 12th house, how it covers everything that is hidden and is about your soul's growth and, you know, psychic gifts and death of the ego and all of that. And you have a lot of planets in that house. So those are issues you naturally gravitate towards. You want to know the unseen. That's part of who you are. It's part of your makeup. I'd love to give you a full reading someday. So, if you want to email at some point, you know, you're the rest of the year, but it'd be great to give you a full reading during the Abundance Alliance that we have together this year. There's a lot I can share with you. The other aspect that this full moon makes is to your actual moon, Roxana, in the first house. And that is you personally. That is your emotional state. That is you, your self-image, the first house. So you, Roxana, will really feel emotional, and you know, there will be changes that you might decide to make about how you feel and how you look and what your purpose is and decisions about you, right? So that definitely is affected by this full moon, and you'll really be feeling things on a deep level. This is almost an exact square that's happening as a result of this Scorpio full moon in your ninth house. So yeah, it's going to be very, very powerful for you in many ways, and also about freedom, because your natal moon and your natal house and your birth house, birth horoscope, is in Aquarius, and that is an air sign, and it's about freedom. And so those issues will come up for you as well. Okay, and then we have Steinar. This is the final one. No, we have two more. We have Steinar. He is in the ninth house as well. Okay, Steinar, everything I just said to Roxana applies to you. My apologies. You are a ninth house full moon, so you might want to rewind and listen again if you weren't. I'm sorry about that. So now, your full moon is actually, this is the first one we have now for all of you who are on this call and in this Abundance Alliance group. Steinar actually has a conjunction. Now, conjunctions are when two planets are in the same place, and it's the most powerful aspect you can have in astrology because it merges them as one. So this full moon in Scorpio conjuncts Steinar's Neptune in Scorpio, and that is quite a transformative occasion for Steinar because, you know, Neptune is very much about the psychic, about mysticism and spirituality. It's also about, the flip side is deception and getting into fantasy to the point where you're not in reality anymore. So you're too idealistic. So you need to not fool yourself about certain issues that are on the table right now and be very watchful of others so they don't deceive you. You're going to be extremely emotional during this time. So you really, really want to make sure you ground yourself with the good, you know, grounding food, with exercise, with getting out in nature, because Neptune will really you know, want to take you up into the ethers, into the spirit, right? And so it's, you're going to be feeling so sensitive right now. Your sensitivity is at an all-time high. Really, really powerful for you, Steinar. Neptune's also at 9 degrees for you in your natal chart, which is all about compassion and service. And nine, you know, the flip side of the nine is when you look at the number, there's a big head at the top. Right, so it can indicate a big ego, or it can indicate the ultimate humanitarian, the ultimate person who is you know, understands unconditional love and is an example of that to others. So this full moon partial eclipse really does affect you in many ways. And if there are any subconscious fears that come up, your dreams are definitely going to be more active. I can tell you that. If you're an artist, musician, writer, you will have a profound amount of inspiration right now. So I want you to get going on your creativity if you haven't done so already, because any creative project that you've started can be finished now in a tremendous flourish. It's really quite an extraordinary moment for you. So, again, if you feel disillusioned, just allow yourself to... some space, deep breathing, you know, just because there is that side that wants to escape during this time, emotional escape. So don't, you know, try not to get enticed by that, and just be creative instead, because your creativity will really be at an all-time high. Okay, so that's Steinar. And then we have Sarah. And Sarah, you're... full moon in Scorpio occurs in the 11th house. So let's go look at that, and then I'll look and see if you have any aspects. The 11th house is very much about friendships and connections you make with others, so relationships that are outside of partnerships, right? So partnerships are in the 7th house. This is about friends and groups and group goals and your future. So you will be feeling this full moon partial eclipse in that part of your life. You're going to look at your hopes, your personal goals, your aspirations. You're going to look at what your true purpose in life is, how you fit into a certain group, a certain, you know, family of friends, how you feel about humanity, how you feel about your future, decisions about your future. And also, this is a great time for you to network. You know, to create a network of relationships that elevate you and allow you to pursue your goals in a greater way. So so that is a good thing. And what else can I tell you about the 11th house? Well, it's also taking responsibility within a group. So if you are in one, you know, and... you know, it's really about taking friendships to a new level, taking your group relationships to a new level, okay? So that is it in a nutshell. And let me quickly look at your chart. Yes, you do have an aspect to Pluto. I see it right away. Let's see what it is. It is a sextile. So that definitely indicates change in a big way for you. It's almost an exact sextile, actually, between the Pluto in your natal chart and the full moon in your 11th house. Pluto is in your house of money. So you may be experiencing changes on the money front, changes you have to make in your mind, transformation on that front. And your emotional connection to money is affected. Moon is a very important planet in your chart, so you are very much, somebody who is emotionally connected and responds emotionally, especially with money matters. So this actual full moon will trigger any emotions that need clearing on these issues. I also see, looks like there's a trine to, no, it's not a trine. It's not a trine, it's in conjunct to your, but it's still a very strong aspect to your Jupiter. So you could feel optimistic too and expansive during this time, especially about home-related matters. So, yeah, I think that's it. That's it. Okay, so let me see if there are, any questions in relation to any of this. Just keep in mind that lunations are times when we get in touch with our feelings. So it's very important to not disregard feelings, to really pay attention to them and be clear before you speak about what you want to say. So not to let things out before the feeling has been sorted through and comes, when you speak what you feel, that is actually clear and not muddled and not a reaction to something, but an actual clear sense of how you want to express yourself. So just be aware that you don't want to, if you feel tired, get some extra rest, so you don't overreact, because your feelings are really your spiritual gauge to your soul, and you want to stay clearly in touch with what your soul's needs are and what your soul is requesting, because you are your soul, and being connected in that level is the most blissful feeling you can have. Okay, like I said, press star 6 if you have any questions. We do have a caller here, so let me just see. Hi, this is Tanya. Is this area 760? Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Lisa.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Oh, you were the two house person.
Am I the
hi.
Two?
Yeah, I was
I
just saying you were the person with two houses.
House.
Pardon me?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, well, I just wanted to, I don't really have a question, I guess, more like a comment, because what you were saying about there will be a focus on my seventh house and relationships,
mm-hmm.
and that is, I'm just feeling that so strongly right now. I mean, I'm really at the point of making a major decision about my relationship, and I've been working on this for a while, but I finally feel that, the time is here to really...
Mm-hmm.
address this and to make a big change. And so, yeah, it's just amazing how the timing of everything is crucial, and how your feelings shift based on, what's going on with the planets, because that's exactly how I feel right now.
And the numbers, because it's interesting you said decision, because it's at 5 degrees, and that is the pivot point. This eclipse happens at 5 degrees, which means you're going to be faced with making a decision. And it's actually in your seventh house. It's 2 degrees from your eighth house. So it is actually literally in your seventh house. But what's interesting to me is, Lisa, that once it moves out of that house, so really this decision needs to be made before the new moon on May 10th. And I don't know if you're able to do that, because this is like your window now between today and May 10th. Where you really need to activate.
Yeah, I totally feel that. That's exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I've been kind of dithering over this for a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
or so. And I finally
mm-hmm.
feel like, okay, now is the time. This is it. let's move on, with life. There's no more, thinking about this. It's it's just time.
Yeah.
So I totally feel that.
Good. And, you know, looking at your chart, Lisa, I just want to let you know, you do have beautiful planets in that seventh house. The seventh house is extremely, it's the most important house in your chart, the house of marriage. And so your learning experiences come from the partnerships that you form. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but you really grow through those experiences. And I think that's why it's been difficult for you to stop the current experience that you're having, because it really is very an important part of who you are to be in a relationship. You see what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
being without one is something you feel very alone and like, how am I going to do that type feeling, right? Almost like you're stripped of who you are because you are meant to be in a relationship. That doesn't mean you're supposed to be in one that's not good for you, though, either. And so,
right.
But you learned from it. That's what my point. And it wasn't like
mm-hmm.
you entered it,
yeah.
you know, you didn't enter it to have a bad experience at all. That's not why you joined, you know. But now with this full moon being, like I said, semi-sextile, which is what we would call more of a attention aspect. It's not an aspect that is easygoing. It's an aspect that brings things more to a head. And those are the aspects, by the way, just for all of you who are listening, those are the aspects that we grow from the most because they really spur us to act. They say, you know, it's when there's tension in your life that you decide to make a decision, right? It's not when it's really easy and, oh, you know, whatever, I can wait till next year, right? So it's not.
Right,
so,
right.
And this aspect happens to be, and this is very rare, I rarely see this because houses are usually not as big as your seventh house, which, again, shows me it's an important house for you. But very rarely do you have this kind of full moon eclipse in the same house as the planets that it's touching, if you understand what I'm saying. Because usually houses are around 30 degrees, you know, approximately 30 degrees, but yours is much bigger. It's almost, you know, 50% bigger than that, actually. Actually, it is more than 50%
bigger.
Yeah. So we have that extra amount of area in your seventh house property here, which allows this full moon to sit in the same location as these other planets that it's aspecting, which is, like I said, a rare thing. So for you, the whole focus right now, what I'm getting down to, is marriage and partnerships and releasing the tension that's there. And it's going to really feel cleansing to you because eclipses are extremely intense and magnetic, and they allow you to just say, I'm going for it. You know, I'm not staying in this anymore. I'm moving on, you know. So
yeah. This must be what I've been waiting for.
I think so.
It's exactly how I feel. And even like when you mentioned the tension, that's exactly how I feel. Like, oh, there, it's like something's making me act. Like I can't just not act anymore. I can't just, you know, sit and allow the status quo to keep going. You know, it's like I can't. I almost physically feel like that. Like I can't do it.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, Lisa, because physically, because of the year we're in, which is a 6 year, if we don't take responsibility this year, we physically will be affected. Our health will be affected because 6 also governs, you know, governs the home, right, where you live, but it also governs your body, which is your soul's home, your physical home where your soul lives. So if your soul is not being nourished and being taken care of, you physically will start feeling it. So it's very, very important that you act because, you know, the way to tell always is, do you feel light afterwards, like something has been lifted, or do you feel heaviness because you haven't made a change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your body will always speak to you. Your body will always let you know, you know?
Yeah. I just feel like I'm finally ready to jump, you know, into the unknown, like I know I've been needing to do for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with, you know, my work, too. I'm really at the point of, you know, just having to make some big changes in that area, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship, I think, is going to be a catalyst for everything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, look at you. You're in a 15-6 year. So
yes.
what is that all about? I mean, you're born in January, so your personal years are easy. They literally start at the beginning of the year. And you're in a 15-6 year. We're all in a 6 year, but you're in a, you know, universally, we're in a 6 year. You're in a 15-6 year. That is about family and home and home business. Six rules home business, too. It rules abundance. It rules money. And the 15, by the way, just so you know, is the spiritual alchemist. That means you have magic on your side. You can literally do whatever you want this year. It will happen. You can alchemize. And what I'm going to be teaching, and you know, I hope you come onto this webinar, because it really, what I will be teaching is how to become this kind of alchemist. And you actually have that literally in your personal numbers this year. You know, so don't be afraid to make this decision, because you are being supported. You are totally being supported to do this. You know, you don't have to have any fear about that. So, and I am not
good,
even looking
yeah.
at your personal numbers. What are your personal numbers? Oh, you have a sixth destiny. Yeah, this is going to be really good for you financially to do this, you know. Your destiny, your career number is a six, too. So this is your year.
Yeah, I'm finally feeling like that. I mean, it's kind of scary, but I'm feeling like, wow, this is what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like total change, really. I mean, not even just relationship, but, you know, everything is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be for the better.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure it's going to be. And also not just for you, but for your family. They're really going to
yeah.
feel the effect. Yeah. You're going to really,
yeah.
as a mom, you're going to feel much more relieved. About how
yes.
your children feel, much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peace, peaceful.
Well, I have hope that it can be a more balanced relationship, you know, in terms of co-parenting and, you know, because we're still going to need to do that together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be better. I really do. I feel like, you know, the way that we're doing things right now is just not maintainable. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's falling apart.
mm-hmm.
Basically has fallen apart.
Mm-hmm,
so it has
mm-hmm.
to be just completely redone.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree. So I think it's time. And like I said, the 11 that's coming up, that's being initiated next month with, you know, the 11 month for you. You will be in an 11
mm-hmm.
month, double new beginning. You're in a 1 month now. So that's why the impetus to change is so important. You just, you know, entered a 1 month in April. Now, the 11 month in May is really, for all of us, and you in particular, is going to be extremely powerful and like a rebirth month in a huge way. So just know that, you know, and take advantage of it. And with that knowledge, you can just move into making this decision with the understanding that you're supported, which is really wonderful. That's the whole point of astronumerology and you know, this kind of knowledge is to use it in a way so that you can get healed and, you know, grow and be in the driver's seat and not feel like you have to be concerned about the repercussions. You know, because all of us have fear of change. That's normal. You know, it's actually
mm-hmm.
part of survival instinct is to fear anything that's new because we have to explore it first. But on the other hand, it's gotten to the point where we just don't change. And so this tool allows you to move forward and know it's really my time. This is when I am supposed to feel these feelings. This is, you know, the astrology is showing me my partnership is definitely something that needs to be resolved right now. So yeah, and the numerology too, it's pointing to the same thing, you know. So
mm-hmm.
really, you can't not feel what you're feeling right now. It would be pretty. You would have to be. What would you have to be? You'd have to be anesthetized somehow to not feel it. So.
Well, and that's probably what some people do. I mean, because they can't handle
yes.
what they need to do. I mean, I could. You know, I could be like, you know, an alcoholic, you know, drinking all the
yeah,
know, that
sure.
thing because it didn't handle what, you know, what I know I really need
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. Yeah, or you could be taking, you know, what do you call those drugs that people take, the
antidepressants.
Prozac stuff. Yeah, the stuff that makes you feel good. Yeah, you could, you know, that also can prevent you from growing. You know, because if your brain chemistry is being altered by drugs that just make you feel like everything's pretty much okay all the time, you will put up with things that maybe aren't necessarily that healthy, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. Unless you're anesthetized, you will feel this for sure. And even when you're anesthetized, you would feel it, but you would just be too, you know, far gone to really, you know, take advantage of the energy. But you're not in that situation.
Yeah.
You're definitely with it. And also, it's been leading up to this for a long time. So in a sense, you've prepared yourself. It's not like a sudden decision you've made. It's something that's been long in coming. So now that it hit astrologically as well, you know, you've been given, I think, a few moments over the last, you know, period to take advantage, and I think this one is the one that obviously resonates most with you. I think it's partly because of the year you're in, the sixth year, which is it's a more comfortable time for you. I think before it was just not as within yourself, you weren't as, you know, emotionally ready. I think this year you are emotionally in touch. It's a very, very much a deeply feeling year for everyone and for you. You know, being a six and being in a sixth year, it's like you're getting in touch with your feelings and you're honoring them. You're taking responsibility with how you feel. You want to feel good. You know, six is about beauty and joy and making beautiful surroundings. And when you are in a relationship that is making you feel tense, you cannot relax. And that Venusian energy, the Venus, is telling you, look, you're not happy. You know, we can't create an environment for you that is conducive to your healing and feeling good about your life. So I think you're really yearning for that, and that's why I think everything sort of has come to a head right now for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All of that is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for validating.
You're welcome. I'm really glad because you're the only one who, in a sense, I really felt there was something major going on. The others, yes, they were. I know there was Steinar. He had a very major part of it. It's some of these members are not on the call because they're either in Europe or I'm not sure. But, you know, all of you, by the way, it would be good if you could get on the call and ask questions after I give you the lowdown on the month and the astrology, because then you can follow up like Lisa just did and we can talk through stuff. That's the whole point of this group, is for me to support you as you're going through these changes. So, but Lisa, congratulations, and I guess we'll talk next month and see how everything goes. And yeah, so you feel good though. The energy around you feels really, really good, which is good.
Yeah,
it feels balanced.
And I'm hopeful, you know, that things will, you know, not be too difficult. And I remember you saying, you know, this year might be even a better year in terms of, you know, my husband's state of mind to approach this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that, you know, it can be relatively amicable, if that's at all.
Well,
possible.
I tell you something. Here's the thing to always remember with energy. It's how you feel that matters the most. He's going to, when you feel this resolved, you know, it will be easier on him. If you still have questions in your mind about whether it's the right thing to do, or you're fearful, you know, you're going into it unsure with fear and confusion, he's going to feel that and he will lash out that way. Do you know what I mean? So, but if you go into it balanced and resolved and clear and calm, and this is how you feel, it really, really has an effect on how he can respond to you, right? So, because you're initiating the change, and you're initiating it in a way that is very much emotionally balanced and grounded, and that will make a huge difference on him. I think it will help release him, is what I'm saying. You will help him get in touch with his feelings, as opposed to feeling like he has to lash out. Now, we'll see how that evolves, but it definitely is a better time, I think, because of how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that too. That I'm hoping to approach it, and I want to approach it, you know, in a caring way, not not in a confrontational way or, you know, blaming or any of that. And I think I even needed to get through all of that really last year, because that's how I was in a lot of that, you know, blaming kind of victim energy.
Yeah.
I've gotten through that.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, I feel like I've released probably 99% of that. And I feel even, you know, more strongly that, you know, that I needed to feel that, but I don't want to be stuck in that. And I don't want to blame him anymore. I want to move on and, you know, a different way of being, which means a big change. I mean, it doesn't mean things will stay the same. It means a big change, but, you know, that's, I think it will be for the best. And I hope he can see that too.
Oh yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, and having gone through it myself, it is not easy, but when it's necessary, it has to happen, you know, for everyone involved. So, and you will feel much better, you know, in the end. So, and, you know, all of us right now are being initiated into a new way of solving problems, all of us, this year, like I said before. And so what we're coming into in the month of May is going to be an onset, like a moment in time where we can't turn back. So you're going to feel that too, Lisa. All of us are going to feel that. And we can't turn back on reforming our lives, because in a sense what's really happening, and I'm going to go into that in the live webinar, is that we're becoming members of one another. So we are remembering with the word member is in there. So going back and remembering our common origins and our common destiny. And what's waking up is whether the life we're leading now, which in your case, Lisa, needs to change or not, in order for us to feel that feeling again, right? To feel that feeling of love and joy, which is what really makes the world go around. It's not, hate does not make the world go around. It's love. It's beauty. The beauty of nature is a visible demonstration of that. So anybody who feels during this time that, you know, you feel confused or you're procrastinating, you're not alone, because in times of change, that is what we do. But you really, really, like Lisa is, want to be confident now, and things that you've been considering changing, please go forward with those plans. And it doesn't have to be in a radical way. It just means make the decision and let the chips fall where they may. Just move forward. Don't not move forward. Like I said, we are all not going to be able to turn our backs on reforming our lives come May. So you want to take the step yourself and not let the universe come knocking on your door to take it for you. A lot of you, hopefully all of you, will be on the live webinar on May 15th, and then we'll talk again after that, you know, at the end of May. So meanwhile, you know, Lisa, I wish you all the best, and
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It is a really exciting time in many ways, because the direction for humanity is literally changing. And that means things will go up in flames, and other things will emerge with tremendous beauty. So don't be afraid when you see things, when you see the life, death, transformation part, because every part of that is important for us to wake up. So there literally is this tension that being created now is literally pointing to us what is most important in our life. It's allowing us to really, you know, be clear on what we want to do. So what's most important, right? If you're left with anything, what is it that you want? That's what we're all being asked. So I hope all of you enjoyed that reading. And next time I want more of your questions so I can do some more readings for you. And meanwhile, have a great month, and I will talk to you in May. All right, all of you. I will see you on May 15th. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.